Good afternoon. My name is Steve Luckaball, and I'd like to welcome you to the Social Media for Sustainability Community of Practice Number 1 webinar, developing a social media marketing strategy for your health community center. This webinar is brought to you by the Partnerships for Care, HIV Training, Technical Assistance, and Collaboration Center, HIV Tech. The Partnerships for Care project is a 3-year, multi-agency project funded by the Secretary's Minorities AIDS Initiative Fund and the Affordable Care Act. The goals of the project are to expand provision of HIV testing, prevention, care, and treatment in health centers serving communities highly impacted by HIV, to build sustainable partnerships between health centers and their state health department, and to improve health outcomes among people living with HIV, especially among racial and ethnic minorities. The project is supported by the HIV Training, Technical Assistance, and Collaboration Center, HIV Tech. Our speaker today is Carlos Morales. Carlos has over 15 years' experience as an expert at synthesizing cultural competency, technology, and prevention for a variety of audiences, and at providing training and technical assistance in developing, maintaining, and measuring social media presence. He has provided trainings to local entities, communities, and states on the assessment, selection, planning, implementation, and evaluation of evidence-based programs, policies, and strategies for alcohol abuse reduction programs, CSAP model programs, and recent evidence-based programs to include environmental strategies. As a Minnesota Institute of Public Health Prevention Specialist, Carlos assessed, planned, and delivered high-quality trainings to school, community, state, and national conferences on programs, policies, and practices, and maintained the Central CAP website. He provided training and technical assistance on cultural competency, evidence-based prevention programs, the use of technology in prevention, and the strategic prevention framework to the state of Wisconsin and the Great Lakes Intertribal Council. He also developed a prevention work plan to help Wisconsin build capacity within its state training and technical assistance system. Please join me in welcoming Carlos Morales.
Thank you, Steve. Hello, everyone. Thank you for being here. I'm glad that you took time out of your busy schedule to be part of this webinar. We want to make this webinar as interactive as possible, so feel free to ask questions as I go along, and I'll try to answer all of them. You know, one of the things is that we wanted to do for this first webinar is to talk a little bit about, you know, how you guys can apply social media into the promotion and communication strategy of your healthcare center. And so for this webinar, we're going to talk about putting a strategy together before actually we do anything. And that's the whole point of developing a strategy. It's pretty much actually develop a plan before you dive into, you know, creating a Facebook page or an Instagram page or going into Snapchat, all of these different social networks that there's available right now for different type of audiences. And so for today's agenda, what we're going to be talking about is, you know, the importance of social media strategy. What are the different components that actually you have to have in place in order for you to start planning your communication, your online communication, your social media strategies? How do we create content that will allow us to engage our audience? Because at the end of the day, what we want is actually for our audience to respond to the different call to actions that we might have, things that we might want our audience to do. And so how do we start creating content that would allow us to do that? How do we automate our social media campaigns? And this is something that, for the most part, I get questions in regards to, look, we don't have the time or we don't have the staff. You know, are things that we can do that sort of actually can help us save some time. So we'll talk about automating your social media campaigns and how we evaluate your social media success. The nice thing about establishing a social media strategy plan is, and actually implementing it, is because you get data in real time as you are implementing those strategies using the different social networks, depending on where your audience is at. And so we'll talk about those. That is today's agenda for the webinars. So let's start actually really quick defining what a social media strategy is. And basically, it's the roadmap for all social media postings, communications, interactions, and more, right? And so a social strategy, and this is important, has to be aligned with essential elements of your business, okay? Because it can help your organization or program accomplish its objectives. So you as an organization, as a healthcare center, you might have some programs and objectives that you need to meet. The social media strategy should allow you to meet to reach those goals and objectives. They should be part of this plan, okay? So whether, you know, the objectives can be increasing or awareness of your healthcare program or generate more HIV testing, for example, you know, sustain current services, increase funding, or driving web traffic to your site. Any of those goals actually are part of a, you know, are things that you need to meet and you need to reach. They need to be part of your social media strategy, because when you create it, you will actually start, you know, creating tasks in how you're going to go and achieve that, all right? So why is the social strategy important? One of the hardest things in terms of social media is ensuring that each and every one of your online activities aligns with your overall program objectives. Having a strategy will allow you to understand where you are, where you want to be, and how you want to get there efficiently. So this is very important. Probably some of you actually have, if not all of you, a website. But also, you might have an online presence in terms of being in different social media channels. And the reality is that the importance of actually developing a social strategy is basically having a sense of what we have, what are the things that we actually currently are using right now. So we need to have a pretty good sense in what are the different social media channels that we have and how our website is being used. It's, are all those things actually together helping us achieve our goals? Where do we want to be? I mean, what are some of the things that we want to do, the goals that we want to achieve, in which we can actually use social media effectively so it can help us reach those goals? So where do we want to be? Which goals do we want to achieve, and how we're going to get there efficiently? You guys might have probably a Facebook fan page. You might have an Instagram account, or you might be using a Snapchat, you know, all those different, or Twitter, or maybe you're actually creating videos and you're using YouTube, for example. So whatever the social media channel you're using, you need to actually start thinking about, okay, are these the right channels that we need to use? Are these actually the ones that are producing the results that we want? And so the importance of social strategy is that it allows you to see all those different components, all those different things that you need to have in place. You can have an effective measurable social media approach that aligns with your overall program objectives. You know, the first and often forgotten piece of developing a social media strategy and measurement objectives is to start outside of your social media. So this means understanding your core program objectives and your service priorities first, and then only then we can create a social media measurement strategy that's going to allow us to track, for example, all these objectives that you may have. Another benefit of developing a social media strategy plan is, you know, you probably will be able to increase inpatient and employee engagement if that's one of the goals that you have. You can create better experiences for patients and potential employees if you actually are recruiting for a specific program. You can identify revenue streams and focus in those using social media to promote the services that will help you generate revenue, or to promote the services that will help you actually generate more funding. So those are also other benefits that you actually will gain as you develop a social media strategy plan. When we talk about developing your social media strategy plan, you know, what does that entail? What are some of the things that we need to actually do in order for us to develop that plan effectively? Number one, you need to conduct a social media audit. And that's basically knowing exactly what are the current social media channels that you're using. So you need to do an inventory of all those channels and see which one works and which one doesn't. We have a template in terms of how to do that you will be able to download, and I will go over that template, so I'll explain to you all the different pieces in terms of conducting a social media audit. You need to establish your healthcare center on program goals and objectives. That's the other section of developing your social media strategy plan. You need to be clear in terms of what is it that you want to achieve. Because otherwise, if we're just posting information in social media just for the sake of posting, but there's no goal behind it, then we sort of actually just wasting time and wasting resources, okay? Then we have to start thinking about developing a content strategy. That means that who's going to be actually in charge of creating content? Content that actually our audience are going to be paying attention to. So it's not any type of content. But if we really know our audience, we should actually have a pretty good idea in what kind of content will resonate with them. And when we talk about really getting to know our audience, a little bit more during the webinar, we'll talk about creating an audience profile. What does that mean? How do we actually ask the right questions from our audience in order for us to produce the content that is going to be beneficial, valuable to them, but at the same time, it's going to be producing results for your healthcare center as well. The other piece is understanding your social media analytics, right? You actually are gathering data in terms of as you're posting information. So as you're doing that, whether you're using it, you're using Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, whatever social media channel, those social media channels have an analytic component behind them. And so you have access to that data in real time. So how do we actually make sense of that data? And I will be actually giving an overview. In this case, we're going to be using Facebook in terms of what you can gather from Facebook, okay? And one of the reasons why is I mentioned Facebook is Facebook is the largest social network. They have over 1 billion users. For the most part, regardless of your audience, you're going to be there in one way or another. And so, and we'll talk a little bit about more about that, you know, in terms of all the data that you will be able to gather from Facebook and how specific you can get. And if you actually are, have a strategy behind it, you will be able to reach the audience that you want to reach. And so that's the power of social media, but that's the power of understanding your social media analytics. And finally, it's building on your success. Once you start seeing good results, how do actually I enhance that, improve that? Well, if I have a presence right now on Facebook, can I actually now jump into Instagram, for example, because I already have a good sense of what I'm doing. And so, you know, for the most part, I get questions in terms of, you know, should I be in 3 or 4 social media channels? And the answer to that is, well, if you have the resources, if you have the knowledge, if you have the staff that will be able to manage that, go ahead and do it. But the other question is, does it make sense for you to be in 3 or 4 different channels if your audience is only using 1 or 2? So the answers to those questions depends on the type of audiences that you're trying to reach. So we're going to be talking about conducting a social media audit. So what does that mean? Well, a social media audit is the process of reviewing what's working, what's failing, and what can be improved upon across your social media channels. Okay, that's pretty much what it is. Well, if you are using Facebook, as I mentioned before, are you using Instagram, Twitter? Does your organization, does your healthcare center have a LinkedIn page? And there's an objective, there's a reason why you have it. Are you very active in using videos, for example? Do you have a YouTube channel? And are you getting the exposure? Are you getting the visibility that you want from the audience that you're trying to reach? So the audits are keys for benchmarking previous efforts and planning new ones, okay? So conducting a social media audit will give you a clear picture of your current social media marketing efforts, which will directly impact how you will proceed moving forward. We need to understand what we're using right now, and we need to understand if what we have is basically helping us meet our objectives, our goals. And if not, then what are the current tools that we need to have in place, and what are the resources that we need to have in place that will help us manage those different social networking sites? So we actually are going to dig a little bit deeper in terms of what all the different components of a social media audit and what they are. So one of the things is that you start kicking off your audit by asking these questions, for example. Which accounts are currently attached to your healthcare center or program? Do you have a Facebook account? Do you have a Twitter account? Do you have an Instagram? Do you have YouTube? You have to list all those accounts, okay, and list pretty much their URL, their website, where they are, how they're currently being used. Are you posting on a regular basis? Are you sort of actually posting once or twice a week? Or, you know, maybe you're not posting at all. I mean, have they gone dormant? There's no activity in your social media channels. Or if you go to your different social media channels, they be used for spam. In other words, are other people actually just spamming and putting information in there that have nothing to do with what you do, or have not, this information doesn't provide any value to the organization or to the audience that you're trying to reach? That's what, when we talk about kicking off the audit and sort of actually understanding what our social media channels are doing, these are some of the questions that we need to answer. So what are other healthcare centers in our area doing online? Do you have a pretty good idea in terms of whether you work with partners or competitors? How are they managing their social media channels? You know, what are they doing online? What are the conversations in terms of products and services that are being talked about? And are you part of that conversation? Is your audience being, you know, does it make sense for your audience to be part of that conversation? If we're talking about stigma around HIV, for example, or we're talking about HIV testing, are we having the right conversation and are we engaging the right audience to have this type of conversation? So we need to start thinking about what are the topics that are being talked about in our local area? You know, what are the top phrases being used around our organization or around our field? So in other words, it's basically having a pretty good sense of what's going on online and offline. And as we're doing these audits, as we're talking about all the different channels that we're using as an organization, as we actually looking at other healthcare centers' social media presence, you know, we have to go back and say, okay, what makes sense for us and what doesn't make sense? If we make sense for us to have a Facebook page because most of our audience is there, great. We'll keep actually, you know, using Facebook. But then does it make sense in terms of what we're posting? Is the information being posted there Is it making sense for the audience that it's trying to reach? So do we have the enough internal resources for us to maintain that, whether it's Facebook or whether it's Twitter or whether whatever social media channel we're using, you know, how actually it's currently being used, and our, you know, the way that we're using it, is it helping us in terms of reaching our goals and objectives? If you don't have any goals and objectives that you haven't written down, and you don't have that associated with your social media presence, that's the first thing that we need to do, right? So that's part of developing your social media strategy plan. When we start talking about elements to measure when conducting your social media audit, is the type of social media being used, the frequency, how often, right? So in terms of the type of social media being used, are your messages and social network that you know, that are the best ones for your audience? If you are planning on having an event, for example, that is fun, that you want to actually use that event to recruit your audience for a specific program, are you considering using YouTube or Facebook Live, for example, to do that? In terms of the frequency, how frequently does your audience want to hear from you? Do you sort of, I don't know if you're blogging, does it make sense for you to do blogging if your audience actually read blogs? Do you Facebook daily? Do you tweet hourly? You know, how frequently do you actually are doing your online communication? In terms of content, is the information that you're sharing relevant to the audience? Is it being shared? Are people commenting? Are people liking it? Do you have any type of reaction, right? And in terms of the engagement, is your content inviting engagement? And are people even responding into any of your messages? You know, sometimes you might have a page, and yet you might end up seeing a page, and they might have thousands of followers or thousands of fans. But when you look at the conversation, and when you look on how much they're interacting, you see that the interaction is very minimal. And so the point is that it doesn't matter how many people we have in our social media channels. What matters is the level of engagement. And so that's what we're actually driving for, okay? So let's say you have 500 fans in your Facebook fan page, but you have a very high level of engagement where every time that you post something, you have people sharing that post or you have people commenting or liking it. That's engagement. And when that happens, Facebook or Twitter or Instagram or any other social network, they look at that and they start gathering data. The more engagement you have, the more visibility you will have, even to those people that actually are not part of your social network. Even people that haven't liked your page yet, they will be able to see that because their friends, for the most part, are commenting or liking in that particular piece of content. So that's why engagement is a very important piece of having an effective social media presence. And in terms of evaluation, you know, we have to evaluate how we've done in the past, you know, what are we currently doing right now, and what we intend to do in the future. So these are the, you know, the elements that we need to include in our social media audit. All right, so we're going to have our first poll question here. So do you know what your organization's online presence is? Click yes if you have an idea or have done a social media audit, or no if you have no idea. You know, I like to sort of have a sense from you in terms of if you are, you know, you have a pretty good idea in terms of how your online communication is being done for your healthcare centers. So there's not right or wrong answer. I just want to have a sense of yes or no. And then, you know, because I want to have a little bit of a discussion in regards to that, and I want to bring up some good points in regards to that as well. Again, even if you have a good sense, but you have not done a social media audit, it's fine. You can click yes if you have a sense of what your organization online presence is. If you don't know, that's fine too. I want to have a sense in terms of how much involvement do you have when talking about online communication strategies. Okay, so we have yes, have done a social media, or yes, you have an idea what your organization's online presence is. We have, 23% of you, and then the majority of you, 77%, says no, we have no idea. Oh, we have that done at social media audit. So if that's the case, well, then you are in the right in the right place, because that's what we want to make sure that you understand. But we also want to show you how to do this. And as we are actually conducting this webinar, keep in mind that, you know, you're gonna hear different pieces, different type of information. But we're here to also provide TA on all the different elements that we're talking about in terms of this webinar. Okay, so you don't have to, at the end of the webinar, just sort of actually leave like, oh my God, how do I do this? Even though I have the templates, I have the documents, but how am I going to supposed to start? I want to make sure that you understand that you can actually request for TA, and we will be more than happy to provide and show you exactly what are the things that you need to do. All right, so now let's actually go over in regards to your social media audit template. I want to share with you what the template looks like. And this is something that you will be able to download. You have access to it right now. But there are different parts in regards to this template. So we have the social media assessment. We put today's date, if that's the date that you're doing, for example. And then we start, actually, this is the internal one, right? So we start listing all the social networking sites that our health person, our organization are part of. So we have Facebook, you know, whether it's, you know, Twitter, Instagram. We actually list them here, and then we put the link to their profile or to their page, okay? Then if it's Facebook, for example, we put the link to that page, and then we say how many fans we have. And so, you know, whether it's 100, 150, 200, whatever the number is, go ahead and put it in there. And then when it says average weekly activity, this is for us to, you know, to have a sense in terms, okay, how many, how often does the organization post? How are we talking about once a day, twice a day, you know, three or four times a week? You know, as you are looking at your fan page and your profile, you know, go ahead and give me a sense in terms of, you know, how weekly, you know, the average weekly activity that's going on in your social networks. And the average engagement rate, we talk a little bit about engagement in terms of, you know, do you see responses? Do you see people liking the post? And you might say, you know, as you're looking at it, you might say, well, you know, I only see like two or three likes, you know, on a weekly basis. Or, man, I'm seeing right now that people are on a weekly basis an average of, you know, 50 likes or 25 comments. So I just want you to have an idea in terms of what your online presence is doing right now and how it's doing. And so as you actually go and listen here, you can actually write then a small social media assessment summary. So if you give this out to anybody from your organization, to the management team, for example, they have a pretty good sense in, you know, when they read the summary, they have a pretty good sense in terms of what the social media assessment is. They have a pretty good sense in terms of what the current, you know, social media presence is. And that's why we do that. Okay, so as we go down, let's talk a little bit about the audience demographics, right? So what's the age range that we are, you know, that we want to reach, or the people that we are currently reaching right now based on our social media channels, okay? What's the gender? The primary social network. For example, if you are, you might be reaching a population that is probably, you know, 25 to 45, for example. You might say, well, the primary social network is Facebook, the secondary social network is Instagram, for example, because they're also heavily, you know, taking pictures, and that's another way that they communicate as well. And so this allows you to sort of start getting to know your audience a little bit, right? And so be as specific as you can be in regards to this. In regards to their primary need, this is something about, okay, what's the primary need of your audience? What they actually are looking for when it comes to, you know, healthcare related topics, and what's their secondary need? For example, if their primary need is housing, because that's one of, that's the particular audience they're trying to reach, well, go ahead and write it housing. But the secondary need is actually healthcare services, because they need to go to the doctor. They need to sort of actually have some sort of a healthcare plan, and when they're actually doing, you know, weekly checkups, for example. Or if you are reaching an audience that is, they're highly active, sexually speaking, where is the secondary need where they need to actually have an HIV testing, you know, every 6 months, for example. And so you need to be here. This is where you actually need to actually put information a little bit about the audience that you're reaching, the audience that you're communicating with through your social media channels. The partner assessment, if you have partners that you're currently working with, whether it's through another organization or another healthcare center, we want to make sure that you put it in here. And you put their social media profile. So you actually put the link to their Facebook page or Twitter, Instagram, whatever they're using. And then you put strengths and weaknesses. So the idea is, if, for example, you might have a partner and you go to the Facebook page and you say, wow, they are posting on a regular basis. They actually are posting 3, 4, 5 times a day. That is actually strength, for example. But, you know, in terms of the weakness, you don't see that there's a lot of engagement. Okay, so that's the weakness. You know, the strength is actually they're posting content on a regular basis, but the weakness is there's no engagement. Or the strength can be, wow, they have 1,000 followers, 1,000 fans, but the weakness could be, well, they're not posting on a regular basis. They don't have content that is actually engaging. So that's the reason why actually we put here, and then you summarize your results when it says partner assessment summary. Okay, now the idea of doing this is basically in just one sheet or one or two sheets, you can have a social media audit that is has to do with the organization that you represent, that you work for internally, but also to the to outside of your organization, other organizations that you work with, or even organizations that you might not work with, but also are providing similar services as you. So that way, you have a pretty good, you know, a pretty good picture in terms of what's going on online, all right? And that's the purpose of creating a social media audit. And when you do this, for example, and if you decide, you know, this will help you in regards to your social media strategy, but as you do this, if you are meeting, you're having a meeting with your supervisor, you're having a meeting with your management team, you can pretty much give this out and say, hey, this is where we are right now in terms of our online communication channels. This is where we are right now in terms of how we're reaching our audience. And I think this is telling us that basically we need to improve in these areas. And so that's the idea of conducting a social media audit. If we go back to what we talked about, is it tells us where we are, and it tells us where we want to go, and it tells us, you know, how we're going to get there effectively or efficiently. And so, you know, I want to make sure that I explain this. Again, if you need help in filling this out, if you need more TA, please, you know, feel free to request them. We will be more happy to help you out and walk you through how to do this as well. Now that you've done your social media audit, you go ahead and compile your social media presence, go ahead and fill that out and have your Facebook pages link, your Twitter, your Instagram, whatever social media channel you're using. Then you have you fill that out, the information about the audience that you're currently reaching. And this is important. When I say you're currently reaching, it means the one they reach that you actually communicating with is not necessarily the one that you need to communicate with. For example, if you have a Facebook fan page, the person who is managing the Facebook fan page should be able to give you that information, all right? They have access to data. And, you know, a little bit in the webinar, in a few more minutes, I will show you where to access that information. If you don't have that information, that is fine. But what we want to make sure that you understand is, you know, gather as much information as you can, because that will help you make informed decisions in terms of how you want to reach your goals and objectives, all right? So now that we've done that, and then we have filled out the partner section in regards to the social media presence, we're talking about the weaknesses and strengths. Now that we have that, the other thing that we do now is, okay, let's start thinking now about creating a social media strategy plan. Let's start thinking about establishing smart social media objectives or social media goals. And I know that, you know, all of you probably have heard about the SMART goals. You know, they need to be specific. They need to be measurable, attainable, relevant, time-bound. But what does that mean, though? I mean, what does that mean when it comes to putting a social media strategy plan together? For example, if we're talking about a specific, what are you specifically going to do? You need to tell me exactly what do you want to accomplish. When you actually have establishing a goal, you need to write down what is it that you want to accomplish. And then you got to list the why, the specific reasons for accomplishing that goal. Why do you want to do this? And what is the benefit to the organization or program? The other piece that is actually part of the specific is the who is involved, who needs to take action, and who will benefit as a result as well. And where, you know, if one of the goals, for example, and again, I will give you a template in how to list this using your social media goals and objectives. You will have a template that you will be able to fill out and will be part of your social media strategy. But if we are talking about a specific goals, you know, if we are, you know, conducting an HIV testing day, for example, and we have a certain location and then we have a certain number of people that we want to come and do the HIV test, we actually need to be clear in where the location is, because there's things that will allow us to measure in social media whether we're going to be able to reach that goal. As we're promoting this and we're trying to reach our local audience, you know, social media will tell you whether the demographics that you're trying to reach live close to where the organization is, you know, is serving. And so that's why we need to be very specific. And then we need to talk about, okay, what are the requirements in order for us to do this goal? Do we need to have people, specific people that are going to be in charge of this, how many hours, etc. But again, I don't want you to worry about it right now. We'll have a template that you will be able to use and fill it out. So this will make sense and in a more intentional and strategic way. So we will talk about measurable. Okay, so this is actually where we're going to be talking about, okay, how do you want to quantify your success or measure the results of this activity? If you cannot measure that activity, you will know whether you're making progress towards your goal. So you want to be able to measure. If we're doing an HIV testing day, how are we going to measure that? Well, we'll measure that by the number of people we want to test. If our goal is 80, for example, then, and if we reach that goal, that means that we were successful. But but we have to have a way for us to measure. We have to be very specific, okay? We have to have a way to quantify the success or measure the results of a specific activity. The attainable piece, what we talk about is, well, is this goal achievable? Can we make it happen? So let's suppose that you have let's go back to the HIV testing day. Maybe instead of your goal being 80, you want to actually reach 500 people. The question is this achievable within the time frame that you have available to do this? So this would allow you to sort of actually scale down your goals. For example, you might have another goal. They might say, well, I want to be able to establish a very strong online presence by using, for example, Facebook. And I want to reach, 500 fans in the next week. I want to be able to have 500 fans in my Facebook fan page. Well, is that attainable? Is it realistic for you to have that goal to make sure that you gather 500 fans in just a week? And so that's why we need to sort of actually, as we're establishing our goals and objectives, we need to be very specific. It allows us to rethink whether what we actually propose and it makes sense and whether we have the resources necessary for us to make it happen. And in terms of relevant, well, how will this activity be relevant to the overall goals and ambition? If the goal is relevant, it can answer yes to the following question. Is it worth the cost, time, and resource required? Well, if one of the goals is actually have an HIV testing day and try to get 80 people, well, yes. Is this the right time to be doing it? Well, yes, because you have this goal for this quarter, for example. And then you might answer to that question, yes, we need to actually do it right now in the next month or so. And does it fit the overall strategy of your program? If that's one of the goals that you need to reach for a particular program, well, the answer to that question is yes. So that's what we mean when we actually use the word relevant, when we actually establish in our SMART goals. And finally, the time bound. Can we get it done in the proposed time frame with the available resources that are at our disposal? And so it is essential that goals have a time frame or a target date. A commitment to a deadline helps a team focus on their efforts towards completion of the goal and prevents goals from being overtaken by other unrelated tasks that may arise. Okay, so it's important that we have a deadline. Otherwise, if we don't put a deadline, for the most part, we're going to get distracted. So this is just an example in how you might want to list your goals, objectives, and strategies, okay? Because this is very clear. It will allow you to understand what you're trying to achieve. And when you want to present this to other people, whether you want to present this to your partners or to your management team, they will see that you have stated very clearly how you're going to achieve that goal. So, for example, if the goal number one, if you want to create a social media presence, let's say that right now you're not active. Let's say right now you need to be on Facebook, but you don't have a Facebook page. We'll say that the goal number one is create a social media presence of our healthcare program for our community of color, age range 21 to 32 in New York City. You see how specific that goal is? We're talking about a healthcare program, community of color. We put the age range in there and we're saying where, which city. And so this is very important because Facebook allows to target our audiences based on their locations, based on their race, based on their age range. So if we are very specific, we'll be able to actually craft messages, particularly for that audience. But not only that, when we go about promoting that using social media, we can turn social media channels, hey, by the way, we only want this message to be seen by, those people that are 21 to 32. Because otherwise, if your message is, you're seeing people over 40 or 50 seeing that, then it doesn't make any sense because that's not the audience that you want to reach. So the objective. So by April, this is where we start putting the dates here. By April 14th, 2017, Joe and Rachel, and this is where we put our name, our team members, right? We'll create a Facebook page focused solely on our HIV primary care, all right? So by April 14th, 2017, now we'll start actually putting a date by when we want to achieve this goal, okay? And then we actually mention who's going to be in charge of that. If you don't have specific names, you can leave that blank. And you can say our staff or our prevention staff or, whatever the name of your program is, you can actually place it in there. But then we'll create a Facebook or Instagram account or a Snapchat account, whatever that is, that is going to be focused solely on promoting your HIV primary care, for example. Okay, so what's going to be the strategy? Okay, how are we going to do this? Well, we're going to create, design, and optimize a Facebook page to promote our healthcare services. That means that we're going to go and actually set it up. Okay, that's what that means. And the tool that we're going to be using is Facebook, because that's the platform. When we talk about tools, we're talking about which platform, which social media platforms we're going to be using. So this is one goal, one template, you know, that you may have, all right? Let's say that you have another goal. Goal number two now is to increase awareness of HIV services to the community of color in New York City via social media. And then we say, by May 31st, this is the objective now. Okay, now we're putting dates, and then we're putting numbers in here. Our Facebook page will have a fan base of 500 people by creating and posting relevant content for the community, all right? So now basically what you're telling me is, okay, in part of this actually, by when do we need to actually do this, and what is the number that we want to reach? In this case, we want to have a fan base of 500 people. So the strategy, how are we going to do that? Well, we're going to start creating content, okay, about healthcare services and frequently asked questions. This is where we start thinking about, okay, what are some of the questions that our audience might have that have to do with the services that we are providing, for example? And then as we list them, okay, let's start providing content. Let's start answering those questions. So this content is going to be created specifically for our community and promoted on Facebook and its advertisement platform. That's when we start thinking about, can we use Facebook ads, for example? Can we have some money aside, whether it's $500 for the first month? And when we actually start using now, be more strategic and paying our social media platforms to reach our audience, to reach the right audience. So, and there will be a minimum of 3 posts a day with call to actions in combination of text, graphics, and video. So what does that tell you? It tells you that, you know, it's not a matter of just putting text that, you know, there as post, but then we actually have to think about, can we use any other pictures? Can we create a video? Maybe it's a video of staff explaining some of the services that we have available, all right, for a specific audience. Or maybe it's the staff actually answering some of those questions that our audience might have that will, you know, deter them or will stop them from coming and seeing us. And so this is where you start, you know, the strategy is pretty much saying, okay, how are we going to achieve this? And so what's the tool? Okay, we're going to be using Facebook posts, which is pretty much putting content in Facebook news feed. Then we're going to use Facebook ads. And then we're going to use the Facebook scheduler. Within Facebook, you can schedule your post. And so in other words, you can plan your post probably, you can sit down for a couple hours and plan your post for the next 2 or 3 weeks. That way, you don't have to do it every single time. But the posts are already created. So Facebook will post it on the day and time that you tell it. Again, we can provide TA and showing you more in depth in how to actually do that and how to draft or how to create a social media strategy plan based on your particular needs. But we wanted to give you an idea in terms of how you can actually start phrasing these goals and objectives that will be clearer for you to understand, but it will be clear for you to implement as well. And when you actually have it written down, you know exactly what you want to measure. If we actually are looking at this goal in particular, how are we going to measure whether we actually are having a success? Well, we know that we want to reach a fan base of 500 people. That's the number of fans that we want to have on our page. If we reach it by May 31st, we know that we'll be successful. We know that number is the number that is going to determine whether being successful or not. But let's say that instead of actually reaching 500, you actually reach 400. Is that considered as failure because you did not reach a 500? Well, my answer to that is no. You're still actually very, very close to your goal. But what that allows you to do is start thinking about, okay, what are the things that we could have improved to actually increase the level of fans within this certain time? Maybe we need to start thinking about changing our date by which we said we were going to actually achieve this goal or objective. So these are things that it will allow you to start changing as you implement. And so, which is the great thing about doing this stuff on social media, is that you can actually stop or pause the strategy and then continue it based on the results that you're getting. Okay? And this is actually has more to do when we start creating, you know, Facebook ads, or we start creating social ads, and we start paying our social media platforms for us to reach the audience that we want to reach. So finally, this is the goal number 3. Okay, we're talking about social media strategies. So let's say that we want to increase HIV testing among individuals who are at high risk for HIV infection in Los Angeles and surrounding areas. By May 2017, we want to increase the proportion of people who first learn about our healthcare center HIV testing services via social media from 5 to 15%. Again, if you're sort of actually looking at the trend in terms of how we act, how we are positioning our objectives, you know that in the objectives we'll list the numbers that we want to reach. One thing that's very important here is that we are talking about increasing the proportion of people who first learn about our HIV testing services. These are people, these are new people that you want to reach. These are not people that are currently clients of yours. These are not people that know about your organization or that have actually been given services by your organization. This is people that have not even been in your organization. They don't know anything about you. They have not had any experience with the services that you provide, but these are people that need to be attended or assisted by your organization. When we do that, then we know that we are actually going to establish a different strategy because we want to reach new people, not the existing ones. So one of the strategies is, okay, let's start thinking about how do we engage them? How we engage them in this process? The strategy could be, let's use a user-generated photo sharing campaign, encouraging people to share inspirational photos of the reason for getting an HIV test and linking it to organization HIV testing information. And that can start with the staff, for example. If the staff are the one, you know, whether you have the CEO or you have the president of your healthcare center, your organization, taking an HIV test, you know, you actually take a picture of them. You know, this is more of a strategy. You know, you can brainstorm it and start thinking about how we can use influencers that we can actually post on our social media so we can gather more people interested in doing this. Because there's a stigma when we're talking about HIV testing day, and we need to answer to that stigma. We need to answer to those questions. If we use a strategy like this, what are the tools? Well, Facebook, because Facebook allows us to do pictures and do videos and do text, and Instagram, because it's a social networking site that is visually. It's visual because we use pictures in Instagram, right? And so then we're being strategic. We're not going to be using, for example, Twitter for this campaign because it might not make sense based on what we want to do in the audience that we want to reach. But we only want to actually put it in Facebook and Instagram. And so now that you establish your social media strategies, you exact when you actually write them down this way, you know exactly what you want to do and how to do it. And this is actually very easy for anybody else new who's coming into your team. When they look at your social media strategy, they say, okay, this is great. We know exactly what the goal is. We know what the objective in terms of the numbers that we want to reach. And then you stated here how we want to achieve that. These are I'm giving you just three examples here so you know you understand how you can start putting your goals and objectives and strategies and tools within your social media strategy plan. So as we're talking and putting this plan together and we're talking about developing a social media strategy plan, one of the things that we want to understand is what is called key performance indicators, KPIs. These are numbers that our social media channels will give us based on the data they're gathering, based on the level of activity they're gathering from your network, from your profile, from your page. And so these are the metrics that will help you evaluate the success of your particular activities. They also show progress towards your strategic goals. So I'm going to give you an example. Let's go to the next slide, please. So let's say that one of the goals is build community, right? And again, this is I'm just stating this as a very broad goal, but the way that we will put this in our social media strategy is actually, you know, put it within the template that we're actually using, the template that I just went over. But for the sake of this particular slide and for the sake of me explaining what KPIs are and how we measure them, I just wanted to write here that one of the goals is actually build a community. And by that I mean, basically, we want to create a community, whether it's through our Facebook page or any other social media channel, where we actually have fans and followers that are interested in the topic that we're talking about. They're interested in our cause. So that's how we build community. If we have 500 fans, that's our online community of 500 fans. If we have 100 fans, that's our online community. So if the goal of number one is building that community, increasing that number, how do we measure? Well, you're going to measure by the number of fans that you have. If you started with 100 and next month you have 200, well, you had an increase of 100 fans. If you actually are using followers because now you're using Instagram and you actually are following people and they're following you back, or Twitter, you actually measure by the number of followers or the number of subscribers on your different social channels. In YouTube, for example, if you have a YouTube channel, you will measure that by the number of subscribers because people will subscribe to your channel based on the content that you're producing. So these are the KPIs, for example, for this particular goal. If we want to measure engagement, because now we know, okay, so we're posting content. You know, we got together, you know, we brainstormed and we created content for the next 2 weeks. But we want to make sure that the content that we're producing is content that is generating engagement. And that means that it's generating some sort of reaction from our audiences. They're liking it, they're commenting. And so how do we measure that? Well, in Facebook, for example, the number of likes, comments, and shares. If you actually are tweeting, how many people are retweeting or how many people they're liking your tweets? If you're using Pinterest, how many people are actually repinning your pins, for example, the picture that you're posting on Pinterest? Or how many people are subscribing to your channel? How many people are liking your YouTube channels? So these are actually the KPIs that you will use. It's important, and I want to emphasize this in terms of engagement, is that that's the ultimate goal. That's what we want. The engagement is basically stating or telling your audience what you want them to do with the content. It's moving your audience from awareness to action. And that basically needs to be a very important part of your social media strategy plan. Because if you're not getting any results, if you're not getting any response from your audience, then that means that whether the content is not the right content, or we're reaching the wrong audience, or we are using the wrong channel, social media channel. So we want to make sure that we understand where we need to be in order for us to actually have, you know, increase our level of engagement. Goal number three. So we're talking about KPI measurements, right? So we're talking about website visitors. When it comes to website visitors, this is something that I've noticed that there's a lot of organizations that probably are not doing this on a regular basis. And here's one of the reasons why I encourage you to start thinking about using your website as a powerful communication and marketing tool, is because we tend to sort of actually go to our website when we're interested about, hey, it's a service or program being listed there. But do we really know if the audience that we're serving are actually visiting our website? You know, for the most part now, you know, everybody has a smartphone, right? And so everybody's accessing information online. And it's a website. It's the description of our program, very clear in terms of what we do and how we do it. Do we know exactly who's visiting which page of our website? Okay. Do we know what's the content that that people are most interested about in our website? This is important, you know, information for you to gather, because that will help you also plan or develop your strategy. If you have a campaign, for example, in which you are creating, let's go back to the example of creating an HIV testing day campaign. What you might want to think is basically creating just a page within your site that actually talks about that specific day. But it not only tells me the date and the time, but also tells me what am I going to be, you know, what's going to be in it for me. In other words, I know that I'm going to be there. I'm going to be actually take an HIV test. But also, what happens if I am positive? Do I have the resources there? Are there people there? You know, are there going to be the right people there, the right professionals that are going to help me process that information? Am I answering that question within that site, within that page? And there are going to be other activities, other resources available. So I want to make sure that I have the right information, because if I can answer in advance most of those questions, then you will have a better chance of engagement, a better chance of the response that you need from your audience, of attendance. And so in this case, for example, how do we measure that? Well, we're going to how would we measure if actually we're getting the right response through our website or through that particular page? Where are the number of website visitors? Are we getting new visitors to that page, that HIV testing page? Are we actually having a good number of repeat visitors? Maybe we had two people coming to that page, but then they came back because they were not sure yet if they wanted to RSVP. How much time they spend on that particular page? Did we actually, once they got there, they actually left in about 2 seconds? If that's the case, that means that we're not actually having the right content. Or if we're asking them to RSVP, because if they actually give their name and email address to RSVP for the HIV testing day, they will in return get X. It could be a prize, it could be an incentive, whatever that is. Then if the form that they're asking, is it long? Are they spending too much time filling that out? Because the more information that we require for them, the less chance we're going to have for them completing that activity or completing that action, right? So how much time they're filling, you know, they spend filling out forms. So these are actually measurable KPIs when it comes to websites. Again, I don't want to confuse you. I don't want to overwhelm you. Probably a lot of this information, whoever manages your website, your webmaster, your web developer will have access to that. But what that doesn't mean is that it doesn't mean that you have to become a web developer all of a sudden, you know, it's in order for you to understand that. But what it means is basically, if you have this information accessible, I will help you translate it and use it to your advantage to make sure that you actually have it and use it for your social media strategy, that you will use it to establish an online communication plan for your audience. Okay, that's all it is, that we want to have that information, actually understand it and use it to create the content that we need to create in order for us to engage the audience. Again, this is actually TA that we can provide to you and show you how to do this, right? So it's not hard, but what it is basically we need to understand this information, because the more that we do, the better that we'll be able to implement our planning and have a better results with our audience. So poll question number two, have you developed a social media strategy plan? Simple, yes or no. Just want to have a sense if you guys have done that already. You know, before we do anything that has to do with social media, when we start talking about, can we use social media to generate revenue? Can we use social media for increasing our funds? And the reality is social media can be used for any of those goals and objectives, but you have to have a plan, because otherwise, if you don't, then you're not going to see the value of using social media. And if you're not having the results because you don't have a plan, then you might say, oh, well, social media is not the right channel for us to do that. And then you might be missing a huge opportunity because you don't understand the potential, the things that you can do once you have a good plan. And so 25% of you have said, yes, we have developed a plan. Awesome. I hope that the plan is working for you. If you have developed a plan and you think that you want to enhance it, you want to sort of actually have, you know, for us to provide feedback in regards to your plan, that's the aid that we can provide. All right. Just because you develop one, it doesn't mean that you might not need help. Or I don't want you to think that you're not allowed to ask for help. So, you know, I want you to go back and look at your strategy plan and see if it makes sense, if it's helping you achieve the goals and objectives that you have. And, you know, 75% of you says, no, we have not developed one. And so if you haven't, I highly encourage you for you to do the one. It's not hard to do. You can certainly actually develop a plan in 1 or 2 days. If you actually gather the right people, you sit down and actually answer the questions. And again, the plan as you develop in it, you know, it will change as time goes by. It will change because, you know, your audience might change, the goals and objectives might change, but it's a lot easier for you to just to fill out those questions. You might need to change just a few things because you already have a template filled out. And so if you don't have one, you're interested in having us providing TA and how to go about implementing this, we're here to help you. So you feel free to request that as well. So this is a template that you guys can download. Again, and this is one that once you complete it, you can give it out to anyone within your organization, and they will be able to understand what your goals and strategies are and what is it that you're trying to achieve. So we talk about goals. That's the first thing, right? So what do you want to accomplish? Are you trying to recruit participants, create a on-site engagement? You want to develop a sense of community. In other words, build an online community. You want to have people register to attend an event. It could be any of these goals, or it could be all of those, or it could be any other goals that you might have related to your programs. This is where you actually list them. So as you're listing your goals, this will give you a pretty good idea in terms of, you know, how many goals you need to reach by a certain period of time. And you can start with a couple, 2, 3, or 4, depending on the needs that you have, and so enlist them here. And this is something that you say, well, I don't know exactly where to start, or I don't know, you know, we have different goals and objectives, but I don't know actually how to phrase them and how to put it in the template, you know, that you just showed us. Well, if that's the case, again, if you ask for TA, we can help you provide some personalized TA, and we can actually help you do this. But at least you have some examples that you can go back and start working on those as well. In terms of your audience, this is one of the most important pieces of your social media strategy plan, all right? Because we need to understand who is it that we're trying to reach. It goes beyond age range. It goes beyond ethnicity. You have to actually ask more questions. And if you do that, it will pay off tremendously. So who do you want to reach with your social media efforts to meet your objective, right? Here you will list your audience, be specific, whether you're actually trying to reach a specific ethnic group, whether there's African American, there's Latino. You might say, well, I'm actually want to reach 18 to 24 African American, you know, men, for example. This is where you put that information. What it says, what does your audience know or believe about your program? This is when we start digging a little bit deeper in terms of, okay, what are the perceptions that they have about us, about the program that we offer or the services that we provide? What are the positive perceptions or the negative perceptions? This is when we start listing them. They're both positive and negative. And so as we go down, start talking about what are the key points that we want to make with our audience? What's the message? What is it that we want to tell them? What is it that we want to educate them on? What kind of awareness do we want to bring to a specific issue? This is where we actually ask the organization, we actually list what are the messages, what is it that we want to achieve, what's the goal? And then we have, where can the audience be found? Online. This is where we say, okay, can they be found in Facebook, Twitter, or Snapchat, Instagram? Are they actually going to different websites that we need to sort of actually have a presence on? So where can your audience be found online? And this is important because this is going to tell you exactly what social media channels you're going to use. And so we need to actually list those there as well. And then we go down a little bit and say that what additional research do you need to do to learn about your audience online behavior? I leave that in there because if there's any more information that you need, we want to make sure that we'll list them here. You might say, well, I want to know exactly, you know, what are the mobile apps they're using, for example. If they're actually looking for health information, which websites do they go and visit? And so in order for us to answer these last questions, I want to go and actually show you an audience profile worksheet that actually we develop as well that you will be able to download. I want to show you that because that way you'll know exactly, you know, what are the right questions that you want to ask. So, for example, when we're talking about audience profile, you know, who is our audience? Is it male or female? We're talking about straight, LGBT, YMSM. You know, we need to be very specific what audience is, right? So what are the age that they fall in? Again, we might, you know, you probably answer those questions when you fill in that on your social media strategy plan. Now, how much do they earn? Are they struggling financially? If you're actually working with a population where you have a high percentage of unemployment, I want to make sure that we put that in there because that's a need that they have, right? That's a need that they have. They need to find jobs or they're struggling financially and they're not able to pay for some of the services. We want to make sure that we speak to those needs as well. I know that we as an organization might have certain goals and objectives. There are certain numbers that we need to meet, but we have to remember that the audience that we're working with have other needs as well. And we want to recognize those as well within our strategy too. Do they have any kids? Do they have any families? Are they in a relationship? Where is the audience located? Is the audience located in, you know, we're talking about Los Angeles, New York City, Minneapolis, St. Paul. You know, we want to make sure that we know exactly where our audience is because this will allow us to actually target them better when we actually are creating social ads campaigns. And this is actually what do they do? We're talking now here in terms of behaviors. Okay, what news do they consume? You know, whether it's online or offline, do they watch Fox News? Do they watch CNN, MSNBC? Or do they don't watch news at all? Okay, I want to make sure that we answer that. Because when we are creating an audience profile using our social media channels, these are some of the questions that we want to plug in there. What are their top five entertainment websites? So if they want to actually, they like music, for example, do they have specific groups or singers or actors or actresses? Where do they go? If they're looking for health-related information, what are the top five websites that they visit? If you look at their smartphone and you ask them, what are the top five mobile apps that you use? Ask them that. Because what happens is that if they're using a specific mobile apps, and if these mobile apps allow you as well to promote your products and services to them, that's where you want to be. Now you're being strategic. Now you're being intentional in terms of what you do because you're getting to know your audience more than what you think you do. And so they have problems, they have issues, but they also have a social life. They do other things as well. So what stores do they shop at? You know, the top five venues they visit for entertainment or to socialize, you know, whether it's restaurants, bars, whatever that is. Top five social activities, whether it's going to the movies, whether it's dancing, whether it's, you know, working out, going to a park. And what perception do they have about alcohol consumption and HIV, for example? If this is actually our primary services, we want to know what those perceptions are. In other words, what comes to mind when they hear the word AIDS or HIV or alcohol use or, you know, they talk about mental health issues? What kind of perception do they have? Because that's actually what you need to create content on. You need to educate and create awareness, right? And for the most part, they might have negative perceptions. Maybe they had a bad experience with another provider and they want to make sure now is that, you know, you need to establish a level of trust. Answering those perceptions in the content that you're creating would allow you to develop that trust as well. So what are the struggles and challenges? This is where you say, okay, they actually wake up every morning. And what is their daily lives look like? What are some of the things they're struggling right now? Well, they don't have a job. They might not be well. They might be dealing with health-related issues. They might have diabetes or, you know, they're HIV positive. They also are dealing with, you know, addiction as well. Whatever the struggle and challenges they're financially, they're struggling, whether it's a mom or a dad, they might be divorced or they might be, you know, in a domestic violence situation. So all the struggle and challenges, you need to list them there. Because as you actually are listening there, you're pretty much creating an audience, you know, a very specific profile of your audience. You're telling me what they like, what they don't like. You're telling me what the struggles that they have. You're telling me what, you know, how they actually they entertain themselves. You're talking about their objections. You know, why is your audience hasn't been looking or taking advantage of your program? What are the negative perceptions, again, that they have about your program, substance abuse, HIV prevention? These objections need to be addressed in the promotion and marketing of your program, because that's how you start actually creating awareness and educating your audience about the benefits of your services. But you need to address that as well. As you're answering these questions, you are creating now a very clear avatar, a very clear profile for who you're trying to reach. And when you do that, now you can sit down and say, all right, so now we know that we're trying to reach, for example, 1824 African-American men. Now we know that these are actually the websites that they visit. We know which mobile apps they visit. We know how do they socialize. We know what kind of music do they listen to. Because we want to make sure that we create content, not necessarily only in regards to, you know, HIV substance abuse, these are some of the things that they're dealing with, but we want to mix and match some of the content as well and create content that will also they find interesting and they find funny and they find relevant. And so that's what this allows you to do. It's pretty much to have a mix of different messages based on the audience that you're serving. All right, so let's really quick, I wanted to go back here to the integration question within your social media strategy plan. That means basically how, you know, what we do, are we going to integrate it to or enhance our existing online presence strategy? For example, if we are very active in social media, our links to our social media profile are part of our email signature. For example, if I go to the homepage of the organization that I represent, do we have links to our different social media profiles from there? And so pretty much it's using what you have available, but making sure that we leverage off of those presence as well. If the organizations as a whole has a social media profile, they're supposed to have a Facebook fan page, can I use that as well to promote the Facebook fan page that is relevant to your program? And so this is when we talk about integration, is pretty much is, okay, how do we use what we're going to create and use it as a way that, you know, whether we have a website, whether we already have a strong social media presence, can we use those resources so it will help us reach more people based on the type of audience that we want to reach? So that's what the integration piece means in that regard. And so if it is applicable, because, you know, you might have an organization that say, hey, you know, because your audience is different, you know, you're only allowed to post in your Facebook page, but not necessarily in the overall organization page. And that's fine. But you need to know that as well, because that will help you also develop strategies around that. Capacity, really, really quick. Who will implement your program social media strategy? Who's going to be the one doing that? So who's going to be actually driving that effort? How many hours are you going to allocate? Whether it's 5, 10, 15 hours, you know, you need to be specific in how you're going to do that. And then do you need any outside expertise to help implement your strategy? And that's why we were talking about the TA. Do you need additional TA? Do you want to request TA for us to help you come and provide TA in how to do this? And who's going to be the one creating content updates and monitoring any social media channels being used? This is where you actually put the name of the person who's going to be doing what activity that has to do with the social media strategy, or the social media presence, okay? And number 5 is basically talking about measurement. How are we going to track and measure and adjust? When you start using social media, data is being collected daily, and it's being collected every single second. But the question here is, how often do we want to look at the data? So my suggestion is, as you're starting actually in social media, you want to start looking at the data really, you know, early in the process. So at least once a week, at the end of the week, you can start looking at the data, right, and they're saying, and start looking at whether your content is actually making sense, whether you're actually reaching the right audience. Are people sharing the information? Are you have a good level of engagement? So as you start doing that, because that would allow you to sort of actually change anything that you need to change for the week after, you know, for the next week or the next month. And so that's how, in terms of measurement, I think that's one of the strong advantages that we have when we use social media, is because we can go in there anytime, any day, and start looking at what, you know, how the content that we're producing, the activities that we're actually doing, how it's actually working in favor of us, or is it not producing any results for us? And who's going to be responsible? You got to put in there who's going to be responsible for looking at that data. Again, this can fall in multiple people, because as you know, one might not be available, but the other one can be actually paying attention. That's what the social media strategy plan looks like. As you know, it touches on different components. And once you complete that, you have a very clear idea, a very clear picture in how you're going to do things and who's going to be in charge of what, okay? All right, so we're developing a content strategy. So now we're talking about, okay, now what is it that we post? What are the things that we need to start thinking about? The content strategy will help you determine many key things, okay? So it's who are the right people, when is the right time to publish content, what is the right social network to publish out to. If you have a carefully planned strategy, your content is going to go out to the right people. Your content is going to be seen by the right people, okay, at the right time in the right place if you have a very good strategy plan developed. The more content you have online to be shared over social media, the higher the likelihood of you acquiring new supporters for your cause, for your program, okay, or getting advocates or building a thriving community. So the more content you have online to be shared over social media, the higher the likelihood of you having success by having the right advocates and by building a thriving community. That's why it's important to develop a content strategy. So in this case, you're going to be creating content based on location of the target audience. If actually there are events, local events, that are related to the services that you provide, you want to make sure that you mention those. If there are things that are going on in your city, you want to make sure that it's relevant to the needs of your audience. Remember that we just developed an audience profile. So now we have a pretty good sense in terms of what they want, what they need. And there are things that you think that is relevant, that is happening in your local area, that is important for them to know about. We want to make sure that we create content in regards to that. The content needs to be relevant. It needs to be valuable. And then we want to make sure that your voice, your brand's voice, is consistent across all channels. In other words, you're going to be creating value. If you have a Facebook page and you have an Instagram page, you're going to be creating value in both accounts, in both profiles. And so we want to make sure that you just create content in one and all of a sudden your content in the other channel doesn't match in terms of valuable it is because you're using a different channel. So you want to make sure that you're consistent as you are creating your content. When we talk about the content marketing piece and how do we make sure that actually our audience sees this, we want to be paying attention to the conversation. So the content analysis is about the conversation that is occurring online. Is that it's pretty much when we actually studying how, you know, people are communicating. Okay, so it's about who says what, to whom, why, to what extent, and what's the effect, all right? So who's saying about, you know, who's saying or talking about us, about the issue that we're trying to discuss? Where is the conversation happening? Is the conversation happening here in Facebook or is it happening in another social media channel? Is the audience actually talking because they had a really bad experience? They came to our healthcare center and actually they had a really negative and bad experience with customer service. They were not assisted properly, for example. And if that's the case, how are we addressing that? What are some of the things that we can create in terms of so we can reestablish that trust? When people are saying negative things about the organization, now we know that the sentiment of that is negative, right? But if we also have people having great experience with the services that they're getting, we want to make sure the audience that we want to reach, they know that. And so we want to make sure that we mention that and we create contents around that. That's one of the important things about is creating reviews, because the reviews will do the selling for you, because there are other people saying, hey, this is a great place. I had a great service and I benefited tremendously from this particular organization. Ways to measure social media. Every point of contact, blog post, story, Facebook page, video, podcast, radio show, whatever it is that you're doing, it's an opportunity to engage, and every opportunity to engage provides the possibility of developing a relationship with you, your mission, your cause, or issue. So tracking your social media analytics is essential because it helps you figure out what is or what isn't working. Okay, so it helps you to track the changes that you need to make, okay, to track the progress that you actually are making, and ultimately will allow you to save time. So that's why we want to make sure that we do this. Let's go really quick in terms of the social media analytics that we get from Facebook, for example. So I'm going to share my screen really quick here. All right. So I hope you're seeing this right now. And what you see here, this is actually the insights here, where it says insights. This is the data or a Facebook fan page, for example, okay? And so of a particular program. And basically what we see is right now is the an overview. Once we actually go to the overview piece of how this page is doing and how many views this page has gotten, okay? For example, in the last week, there was an increase of about 275%. We actually reached about 413 people in the last week or so. You know, in terms of engagement, we had about 115, people engaged in this process in the content that we were providing. So they will give you an overview, okay, in terms of how your page is doing. So as you go, for example, in different sections here, one of the things that I wanted to show you here, if I go to people, they will give me a pretty good idea who my fans are. Okay. And so we're gonna look at some data in terms of, you know, how many of them are males, how many of them are females. And then we're going to look at, let me actually see if it's loaded really quick here. So we can see that. All right, so we got it. So basically what we look at is we know that, you know, 25% of our fans are women. And then we have 72% are men. And here's the age, you know, the age breakdown. You can see now, you know, that a majority of our fans actually for men falls within the 25 and 34. Is the same for women as well. So this would allow us to say, well, is this the audience that we want to target? Is this the audience that we want to reach? So Facebook, as long as, you know, Facebook and any other social media channel will be able to give you these numbers, this data. And it will tell me which cities are the ones that we're actually reaching as well, okay? So why is this important? Because this actually will allow us to see whether we're reaching their ad audience or not. Is this the actually age range that we want to have? If not, you know, do we want to reach people that are falling within the 45 and 54? And because we only have 6% of them, that means that we have to do a better job in targeting that specific audience. So that's, you know, one of the things that you can gather from here in terms of when we start looking at your fans. Okay. So this is just a very quick overview. There's many things where you can take a look at here when it comes to, for example, their number of likes. Okay. How many likes have we gotten in the last period? And so, you know, and how many, you know, how many people have unliked our page? We also see that as well. And so, you know, how many people will be able to reach? Again, you can see how many people will reach on a different, you know, a specific date. We actually reached about March 12th, for example, 291 people. And that was an organic reach, meaning that we reached them for free. We did not create any social media ads. We did not, you know, pay Facebook for us to reach that. It was just pure organic, free. So that was content that it was created and people were reacting to it, okay? So this is just a very quick overview in terms of how people actually can, you know, respond when we actually are producing content. Again, you want us to provide TA, we will go into more depth in actually looking at all the different statistics and how you can use that for you to enhance your presence and be able to have your audience moving them from awareness to action, all right? So really quick, we only have a few more slides, and we're going to be talking about website analytics here. And so, and this is basically, we're talking about, you know, who's coming to our site, where they're coming from, what do they do there, all right? So basically here, we know who are the people that are coming to our site in terms of, you know, where they're coming from, in terms of the number of visits. And basically here, we have an overview and how many people are coming. And so this is important because if we actually have pages, we want to look at that data as well. Is that if we are using a website, you're using a healthcare organization website, are there particular pages that are being visited more than others? We want to have a good sense who those pages are and if that makes sense for the audience that we're trying to reach as well. This is where the, you know, where they're coming from. So for example, if our people go into the search engines and type in a, you know, HIV care services, for example, and it's my organization coming up. That's actually, they do that through a search engine, right? Like Google or Yahoo or Bing. Or they might actually go to another site and that site had a link to the healthcare center organization website. And that's a referring site. Okay. So they click on that link and they went to your site because of that. Or direct traffic, meaning they actually typed your website, your domain, your website address, and they went straight to your site by typing the right URL. Or other can mean, well, they're coming through different social media channels, for example. They actually arrive to your site through any, whether it's Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, whatever that is, and that's where the other will fall in. This actually data you can gather from using Google Analytics. If your organization is using Google Analytics or any other analytics software, they should be able to gather this and even give you more specific data. Now, my question might be, you know, why do I care? Well, because remember, the more we know about our audience, the better. But not only that, though, is that once we understand what the data that actually we're seeing, we'll start realizing how we can use this in terms of the social media strategy planning and how we can target the audience that we want to target or the audience that we want to engage or the audience that we want to communicate with. The content here where it actually tells which pages are being visited the most. That's where, you know, which content is the one that is producing the more visits the more views and the more engagement. That's what this is. That way that we'll know that if actually people are visiting a page that has to do more with, HIV primary care services, awesome. So we see that actually people are interested in that specific service. We want to make sure that we increase that number if that makes sense. Or there are people that are actually coming for all other healthcare related issues, whether actually they're dealing with diabetes, for example, or whether they actually have hepatitis C or hepatitis B, whatever that the illness might be. We want to make sure that that's one of the services that we provide. We provide a screening in regards to the services. Are those pages being visited as well? All right. So when we talk about social media automation, remember, this is one of the things that we want to do. You can create what is called a social media content calendar. Basically, you say what content you're going to be putting on each day at what time. Okay. And so when you do that, you can create a calendar for the next 2 weeks, 3 or 4, a month. There are organizations that actually have created content for the next 30 days. So the only thing that they do is monitor the content and see how people are responding and answering any questions that people might have. So that's the effective use when we talk about social media automation, is that Facebook, for example, you tell Facebook to post that automatically. You don't have to do it in real time, but Facebook will do it for you. That would allow you to find the best time to post because, you know, if the audience is more active at night, then you want to actually produce good content for them to see at night. Because if that content at 8 a.m. in the morning is not getting a lot of engagement, but once the same content is posted around 9 or 10 p.m. and you see that actually the engagement is higher, then that will actually allow you to see that, make decisions in what will be the best time for you to post. Now, where do you get that information? From the Facebook Insights, for example, the screen that I just showed you, or from the analytics that you get from Instagram or Twitter or any other social media network. Add a personal touch to your scheduled message. It's always good to add a personal touch, whether it's your first name towards the end, because that tells the user that there is a person behind that content, behind that post. It's not just a robot. You know, it's basically not a machine just, you know, putting content out, but there's actually a human being who created that content for them, specifically for them, based on the audience profile that you guys have created. And this is some of the things that you don't want to do. You don't want to use automatic direct messages, meaning that, you know, if somebody actually likes your page or follow you, you don't want to send them a message automatically, you know, that is the same for everybody, saying thank you for following me. I mean, you want to make sure that you don't do that, because then if you do that, that actually tells your user that this is not you. It's just the system, the software that you're using doing this. And basically, that tells you that, you know, that tells the user that you're not paying attention to the interaction, to, you know, paying attention to the communication, to the content. So you don't want to treat the scheduled messages as a one-size-fits-all tactic. Remember, you have Facebook, right? And Facebook allows you to do graphic, videos, text. But Twitter allows you to only type 140 characters. Yes, you can actually include some videos in there, but you only have 140 characters for you to explain what you're talking about. And so, you know, one size doesn't fit all tactics. So you want to make sure that you understand that based on the platform that you're using. You don't forget to analyze your scheduled messages. You want to look at the statistics, but you don't forget to read the articles you are automating, that you are sharing. You want to make sure that you know exactly what you're sharing, that you read them, you take the time, so you can create context around it when you present it to your audience. And so really quick, this is the summary of everything that we have discussed. What does it take in terms of putting a social media strategy together? We want to define our goals. That's number one. We want to know our audience. Again, do that by filling out your audience profile worksheet. You want to choose your social networks based on where your audience is at. You want to find your voice and tone. You want to make sure that, you know, are you sort of actually producing content to educate your audience, to bring awareness? Are you going to sort of actually mix and match, and are you going to actually put some fun content as well? You want to pick your posting strategy, and that's what we talked about, the type of content, when and what time. Analyze and test. Look at your data. Analyze it. Test different specific themes or topics to see how your audience is responding to it, and automate and engage. And so that's pretty much a summary of putting everything together. The next session, we're going to be talking about content, right? And so I just gave you a preview in terms of what a content strategy looks like, but we're going to be talking more about how do we create it, what are some of the specific strategies that you need to have in place. And so the whole webinar is going to be in content. And so if you're interested, please register. We invite you to come and be part of the conversation. We want to make sure that we provide the right content for you, and we're here to help you. Again, TA is available if you want it, if you need it, okay?
Okay, I'd like to thank everyone for participating in today's webinar. Take care, everybody, and we'll see you next time.